Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport, where, well, we're shell-shocked after what we've just seen, even for England, to plumb depths currently and historically uncharted. Tasmania, the nadir, the end. And myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison are going to discuss it all here on the Following On podcast. So, if you are listening to the show, you're probably Australian. Australia have won the Ashes by 4 wins to nil wins. And they have they've done it in style, beating England by 146 runs after England were bowled out for 124. That doesn't go anywhere to explain another ridiculous day where another 17 wickets fell. Australia starting at 37 for 3. And Mark Wood bowling brilliantly took the first three wickets to fall. 67 for 6. It would have been 91 for 7 if Chris Wokes hadn't overstepped. Alex Carey ending up with 40. Should have been out for 19. Actually made 49. And it was possibly a pivotal moment. We'll never, ever know. England continued to bowl well after that. But that partnership between Cameron Green and Alex Carey pretty much did the game for England. They did bowl Australia out, though, 155. Mark Wood, terrific figures, 6 for 37, his test best. So, over to England. They needed 271 runs to win. Rory Burns and Zach Crawley came out and had two or three large doses of luck along the way, but put on the biggest opening partnership of the series for England. 68 without loss, the over before tea, and England were favourites to win the match. 52% favourites to win the match. And then Burns was out just before tea, chopping on. Milan followed suit soon after, and it just crumbled in a heap, essentially. Cameron Green with the first three wickets to fall. Boland came on, took a couple. He ended up with 3 for 18, and continuing his ridiculous introduction to Test cricket. And by the time Stokes went 92 for 4, you knew that the game would be over late on day 3. And indeed it was. Lessons to be learnt was the mantra trotted out by Joe Root to Adam Gilchrist. But what lessons are there to learn, really? Well, let's find out. Steve Harmison.
Story of the day.
Well, Steve, I don't call you Steve, I call you Harmy, but
we're all calling each other different names at the minute because we're all shell shocked about what on earth is going on.
Can you try and put it into words? From at tea, favourites to win the match, and how many overs? 22 overs later, 22. Overs later, we're bowled out.
I'm actually on commentary with Dan Norcross, sitting saying how well Burns and Crawley have played. Rotation of strike. Burns, when he gets in and he gets in a flow, he has this ability to get inside edges, outside edges, into gaps because of the way his technique is. And that would work because it was a good partnership and they got off to a good start. And you're thinking an over before tea. If these two go in at tea time, what a dressing room that'll be. They'll be bouncing. England have a chance here. By lunchtime tomorrow, we could be 3-1, paper it over a little bit of cracks, but at least we come away with our heads held high. Mark Wood, fantastic. We chased 270 last innings, and we come away with, you know, something out of the series, even though it's a bad series. I'm not pleased. I'm trying to put words into my mouth, which is saying that this is a good thing for English cricket that this has just happened, because this needs a reset. This needs something drastically to change for English cricket to get better. I've said twice, I think, three times on the following on podcast, probably the same amount of times on the Cricket Collective over this 6.5 week period, that we are in a position where we are probably 10 times, and I probably exaggerate, 10 times worse than where we were leaving Australia in 2015 in a white ball game. We are 10 times. We are embarrassingly miles away from where we need to be when it comes to playing test match cricket. And a lot of the players that are in there who have had a chance to play enough cricket now, and their careers are going backwards. They shouldn't be going backwards in test match cricket. There should be an initial period of finding it hard. And then because you've been picked for England, we think you're talented, you should be going through the gears and forging a good career. Odd one will fall by the wayside, but not 7 or 8. Not 7 or 8. We've got players going backwards now. And I don't see, I really struggle to find out the answer. I was sitting next to Mark Rampakash talking about it. And it was like, where do you lay the blame here? Do you lay it at Silverwood's door? I don't think so. Do you lay it at, you can't lay it at Root's door because he doesn't make the system. Do you lay it at Giles's door? Harrison? ECB's arrogance? That's where I look at it. ECB's arrogance of prioritising white ball cricket. Now we're all right because we're winning World Cups. We're playing well in one day cricket. We're making a fortune. TV deals this. You know, prioritising. I really struggle to find out where it is. We had a schedule on, and that comes under Ashley Giles. Is Ashley Giles getting what he wants because of the money men saying, no, we have to play 100 cricket. We have to play 2020 cricket at this time, so we can't fit championship cricket in. So is he having his hands tied? Silverwood's having his hands tied because he's trying, and for all the goodwill and Chris Silverwood, he's tried his hardest to make sure that none of the cricketers are standing still and potentially mentally struggling, getting injured because of the crossover and the white ball and red ball. But they've made a complete hash of it, because when you get to the Ashes, you pick your best team for the first test match. And hopefully if you win, like Australia did, you keep the same team, bring the odd one in to sort of say, right, we have built for this moment. And I'm not even going to go through. This podcast could last 4 hours if I go through what potentially has gone wrong from decision-making. But we've decided two big things for me when it comes to decision-making. We played a kid in the first test match, Mark Wood. He bowled 25.3 overs. And we decided on a shirt front, when we needed him most at Adelaide, we need to rest him. And then we play him in 3 test matches in a row straight after that. We see he's got an injury record. He's bowled nearly twice as many overs as anybody else, because he was the only one on that.
He's bowled more overs. That. He's bowled more overs than anybody else, and he's bowled more than half of them since England lost the Ashes.
Absolutely. And it's crazy. Madness.
How is that? Is that even a thing?
And the second biggest one was, again, we've tried our hardest to alienate Stuart Broad. Wow. He's come into this series when it's been done. He played on a shirt front in Adelaide, and he didn't play in Melbourne, and we've chucked him out in games, and he's performed. I'm not saying Broad and Anderson would have gone on and won the Ashes for England, but right at the very outset, I'm quite happy to say this now, because hindsight's not a wonderful thing in my eyes. I seen this when Ben Stokes became available. I said Ben Stokes needs to bat at number three. Nothing against David Milan. Bat at number three, and we play our four best bowlers.
Yeah, no, Broad you Anderson, did say it. You did say
Broad it. Anderson, Wood and Robinson. But that is the formula that we should have gone down.
You did.
And because Stokes is available, we had to play a spinner. Stokes wasn't fully fit. And we still managed to stay in the series with the ball. And that's where the 4.5 hour program would last if I start having a go at the batting. So we've not got enough runs. That was always going to be the key. Where the blame lies, but it's going to take somebody with some big cojones to front up and say, right, I'm taking responsibility now. Talk about a review. They're marking each other's homeworks here, and that's not good enough. If they really want to have a go, get people who will tell the ECB straight. People that will tell the ECB, if they really want to, there's plenty of people out there. There's plenty of us out there who will sit in front of money men and say, if you want the best possible red ball team and white ball team, the balance is this, and this is what they need. This is what we need going forward. Because if you don't, we're going to Australia in 4 years' time, and we're going to get beat 4 or 5 nil again. And we're going to paper over a crack coming back, because we'll do all right in England, and we'll go and beat Australia, get beat in Australia again. Hasn't been good enough in a million different ways.
And the problem is, look at that batting lineup going to West Indies in March. You know, it's not even going to say again.
That one's not going.
Well,
that can't go to the West Indies.
Well, Crawley will go.
Can't go to the West Indies in March.
Crawley will go. Milan will go. Root will go. Stokes will go. And Bairstow will go. They'll just bring in another opener. But it's just,
they've got to leave Stokes out because he's not fit. If he's not fit enough to be the all-rounder,
they should have left
go.
Him out. They should have left him out in this test. His first scoring shot in his first innings, he grabbed his side.
It's absolutely. Like,
why are you playing?
It's 10 days of recovery that he hasn't had. Milan, I'm not taking Milan because something happened last night, which is something he should never have missed. And I know his wife gave birth 6 weeks earlier than the due date. Milan's been on the road for a long time now. I'd give him the West Indies off. I really would. The human element that we have to look at, some of our sports people, with the COVID bubbles are in, I'd give Milan, he's gone out today, he's been hit on the head, he's got no idea what day it is. Trust me, I've been there. You know, I got a text message off Abby at about 5 o'clock this morning, and it was, whatever happens with Milan, remember, you didn't see me born, and you remember what that felt like. And that was my daughter sending me that text message to say, you remember, Dad. So if he does play a bad shot, think about what you're going to say. And that stuck with me. It really did. It stuck with me, what Abby said to me, because I do remember what it was like. I was all over the shop. We had just gotten beat. We got beat 3-0. Ashes had gone. Head was in bits because it was the best day of my life because my daughter was born. But it was arguably one of the worst because she was 10,000 miles away and I didn't get to see her for nearly 3 months. So I think a compassion element, yes, they're professionals, yes, they're getting paid for playing. But the amount of time that David Milan's been away, I'd just give him a little break and say, look, have that time at home with your family. Get himself, yes, he might go off and play the IPL, but it's been so close. He's missed the birth of his child. He's been part of a series where I'm really embarrassed. I'd give him the 6 weeks off. If he goes to the IPL, he goes to the IPL. He comes back into cricket that way. If he doesn't, he starts the season with Yorkshire and he gets himself in the shop window to try and get runs, to get himself in the team for the first test match on June the 2nd. I think we've got to show some compassion and some heart there that I'd give David Milan some time off. We've got to make decisions on the likes of Bairstow, what we're going to do with them. Is best they're going to go and wicketkeep? That middle order now doesn't work. It's not working. It didn't work in Australia. Stokes is a six. He's not five. He's got about six if he's going to be the all-rounder. What we're going to do with Pope, that's the big question. He's got undoubted talent. Where does he go? Wicketkeeper, it's up for grabs. But that 4-5-6 of experience that we show, 3-4-5-6 of Milan, Root, Stokes, Bairstow, Butler. It's not worked for 15 months now. We've not got consistently over 200. So they're our best players, but it's not working. So something needs to shuffle and something needs to change.
So what do we do? Because Stuart Broad came out after whenever he came out and said, "Oh, we've got to start winning matches." And see, this is the thing, right? So what do we do with the West Indies? Do we say, yes, Stuart Broad's right, we just need to pick our best team and win matches? Or, and in the same hand, we also say it's not fair that Owen Morgan gets his team all whenever he wants, but Joe Root doesn't. So there's two big arguments why we play our best team. Or do we say, no, we need to find out some who else can play? Because otherwise, Milan, who's in his 30s, Bairstow's in his 30s, Stokes, who's about 30-odd, Root's in his 30s. We're just going to play the same guys, which hasn't really worked over the last 2 years. But Joe Root and Chris Silverwood, if he sticks around, and I think it's unlikely he will, they can't afford to go to the West Indies with an understrength side, because if they then lose, then their positions are going to become even more under pressure. And let's not forget who is our first visitor to England. It's New Zealand, 3-test series. So it's not as though they can look forward to a test summer where they could feel that they'd be favourites to go on a win. So mirroring that up, the very different needs for the team is going to be near on impossible.
Yeah, and like I said before, it's not going to be an easy decision, whichever way you go about it. But England have been in this position before. You know, they did it in the early 2000s when county cricket changed to the two divisions. They got a little bit of a reset, central contracts, started with playing cricket in the middle of the summer, good wickets, producing fast bowlers, and very, very good, technically good batsmen. 10 years later, we were the best team in the world. Strauss's team was the best team in the world. 2008, I think it was, when Peterson and Moores had the ding-dong. We went to the Caribbean with Strauss in charge. With Strauss in charge. And I'll know this because I had a massive falling out with Andrew about being non-selection in Barbados, because I wanted to know why I wasn't playing. And he was the man in charge. Yeah, Andy Flower was interim coach. He was there as a right hand, but he wasn't the man that was making decisions.
I bet you were pleased in the end, because that was when Sarwan hit 290, wasn't it? And it was Ravi Babari at 100. It was a flat.
It was a flat pitch, but it bounced, and it was one of the only pitches that bounced in the West Indies, which is something I was wanting to play on. But irrespective of that, we might have to go down that route again, where we turn around to Joe Root and say, "You're going. You're in charge. You take if you're going to go move Silverwood on, you take an interim coach, and Joe Root makes the decisions and see if, we need to reset our thought process and how we are going about Red Bull cricket. We can't change that overnight, first thing. So we can't, it's going to be a gradual thing to do. I think we have to look at, and as much as I agree with Stuart, as much as I think, yes, we need to pick our best side. We don't know our best side at the minute because none of our players are playing. We've not got the beauty of playing 12 months first class cricket. We are in the middle of the winter. We have got all our players are playing in indoor schools who are on the peripheral of this side. We've been beat 4-0 in Australia, where we look as though we can't string a session together, never mind a day's play or a test match. So we might have to either think outside the box or take a punt on a couple of players that we think, right, is the next cabs off the rank. Thinking Ben Folkes, if it's Ben Folkes over Sam Billings. If it's Sam Billings, great. Sam Billings goes. Give him a go. Give him a punt. If it is Yates from Warwickshire, then fine. He goes up front. You know, he's another one. He looks as though he's a bit fidgety, left-hander. But we are not in a position where we can pick our best side, because our best side has just been blown away 4-0 and is devoid of all ideas and confidence in, playing test match cricket at the minute. So as much as Stuart's right, I think we might have to take a punt on one or two players, as well as do we have a look at, the dynamics of, are we going to the West Indies with Broad and Anderson? Bearing in mind, they might not go on an overseas tour again.
That was going to be my next question, do England, what is evident is that, and you know, Adam Gilchrist doesn't ask too many good questions of Joe Root at the end, but one of the questions he did make was that, you know, when 4 years time, you're going to come back knowing you need a bit more brimstone. And Root didn't answer really, but at the end of the day, it's not good enough just having Wood. You need a couple of these guys. Archer's not going to be around, and it's sadly debatable whether we'll ever see Archer really play Test cricket again. Ollie Stone's still some way off. So do we throw, you know, someone who's raw into the side, who's capable of bowling seriously quick?
I don't think we've got anybody. I think the ones that we've got are injured. That's the problem. Our system doesn't produce bowlers who bowl fast. Our system is producing bowlers who put it somewhere close to off stump and let the pitch do the work. And I think that's the gradual systematic change that we need to move forward with our gear. But we have got a tour in 6 weeks' time to the West Indies, and we've got to pick a group of players that are going to go there, hopefully not scarred from Australia, to try and beat the West Indies, something that hasn't been done since 2004. It's going to be tough. So you asked me a month ago, I would have said no Broad, no Anderson going to the West Indies. Let's see what Joe's like without, and you know, having these group of players without Broad and Anderson in. Can we go on an overseas tour? Because after the Ashes, they're probably not going to go on another overseas tour. Well, Jimmy probably won't. Broad might. And let's see what the bowling unit's like without them. But when I look at what Broad and Anderson have done in this series, I'm thinking, I change my mind every 2 minutes on these two, because I'm like, well, no, they deserve to go on the tour because they've actually done their jobs. They put their bags on the plane, they put their boots on day after day after day, and they've gone out and done their jobs. So why shouldn't they go on that trip? As much as I want to look forward and try and find maybe his next cabs off the rank for a good push in the summer and potentially going to Pakistan, and I can't remember where, South Africa, I think they're going after that. But Broad and Anderson are still our shining lights. Broad should have played in the first three test matches to give us a chance. That wouldn't have made a difference because we didn't score enough runs. But I keep changing my mind on that one because I don't think they deserve not to go. I think we would be blaming the wrong, not blaming the wrong people, but scapegoating the wrong people for an embarrassing Ashes trip. I don't think any bowlers on this trip don't deserve to go to the Caribbean. When you're talking about Ollie Robinson, I said last night, and I was, you know, quite passionate about my experience, but I think it sums the trip up when one of your coaches calling out one of your players for not being fit and having a poor attitude. That's rock bottom. We've got nowhere to go from that. You get bowled out in half a session, lose 10 wickets in half a session, and one of your coaches slags off and calls out one of the bowlers who's actually bowled quite well. And he fronts up and he tells him that his attitude's not very good and his lifestyle's not very good and his fitness level's not good enough to play test match cricket. When up until this test match, he was a leading wicket taker in the series and we haven't scored many runs more than 200. Can it get any worse than that? We've got coaches slagging bowlers off. Because of their poor attitude. If the players have got poor attitude, then the coaches need a good shake. Because if they're picking players with poor attitudes or they're letting them have poor attitudes, then these coaches need to have a really, really good look. I might be a million miles wrong, Chris Silverwood, John Lewis, throwing things back at me, but you've devised a system in allowing you to pick players with poor attitudes. We are rock bottom if that's because that's just happened.
It surprised me how chastened I was at the end of that game, because it's been a torturous tour. This has been the worst tour. You know, this is worse than 06, 07. This is worse than 13, 14. This is worse than 17, 18. This is plumb new depths. I'd never thought were actually possible to plumb from an English perspective. And it's almost impossible to see how England are going to turn it around, because it's so, you know, our two best bowlers are about to head off into the sunset. Our best all-rounder is still way, way short of where he needs to be. We don't know who our wicketkeeper is. We don't know who our openers are. And our best batsman is our captain, and he cannot. The chance of Root having a 2022 like he had a 2021.
Nearly impossible.
And then, of course, we've got injury concerns surrounding, you know, some of the players who could come in, like Archer and Stone. So,
yeah, the only thing that could get worse, John, really, what the only thing, England are at rock bottom and they've got nowhere to go. But one thing could happen to just make sure it is like you are literally weirding it. You're Joe Root walking away.
Yeah.
Joe Root walking away from the captaincy. And I think England have back down a cul-de-sac and they're at a dead end. And I tell you what, the road to the light at the end of the tunnel is some serious place. Because if he walks away from that captaincy, and I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't encourage him. But I wouldn't, if he come to me and said, Harmy, I need your advice. I'm thinking about packing up the captaincy and giving it in because I don't think I've had the help and I've not had the team and I've not played in the IPL, which is another tick on my CV list. That's one thing I would not try and talk him out of because I don't think he has had a fair crack at a whip with it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
They were discussing on their TV comms a composite of England-Australia side, 11 from the series. Do you want to hear mine?
There'd not be many English in it.
They'll be like
Jack Wiltshire's yesterday when he did Tottenham and Arsenal. Pick 11 Arsenal players.
Warner. See if you disagree with any of these. Okay. Warner.
Yeah.
Harris. Yeah. Labuschagne.
Yeah.
Khawaja at 4. Head. Yeah. Yeah. Green, Carey, Stark, Cummins, Lyon, Boland. You're going to say Wood for...
Probably Wood for Stark.
Wood for Stark, yeah.
Yeah, Lyon has to play because I think Lyon's been excellent. I can't disagree. I could chuck Crawley at you for Harris, but... That would be a heads or tails. He's got out the same way.
Harris, that innings he scored, was it at Melbourne?
Melbourne, yeah.
That was a bloody good innings.
Yeah. But Crawley got out the same way. Zach Crawley's turning quickly into James Vince. Pretty 30, pretty 40, you get a good score. But if you put enough balls in and around that, not quite drivable, just undrivable area, he'll nick one straight aslip or straight behind.
Yeah.
We jettison James Vince out of the team. And I like Zach Harris. You know how I feel about Zach Crawley. I actually think he is a player that we could persevere with, but he keeps getting out the same way. And I said that about Vince. he looks stylish, he looks good, but he keeps getting out in the same way. And the one thing you can't do in national cricket is keep getting out in the same way, because bowlers are so good now. They put 5 out of 6 in the right area and you eventually succumb. And unfortunately for Zach, he's done that. We might have to go back to the drawing board and go with some more experience openers and have a look at players who have been there before, who are hopefully more seasoned, more experienced. We look at the two openers for Australia. One's 35, one's 34. They're experienced. You go back to a Robson, a lie that I think Stoneman's race has run, but one or two players, a Vince, is gone. And there's a lot of question marks on Vince because people say, oh, well, he's gone down to number 5 for Hampshire. He's probably gone down to number 5 for Hampshire because it was only this year he's done it. Probably because he's thinking, you know what, I'm playing franchise cricket around the world. I'm getting the one-day side every now and again. And every time I'm in and around the test side, people say the same thing. Oh, he gets a pretty 30 and nicks off. Well, is he a better player now than he was 2 years ago? He's more experienced, played more cricket. He understands the game better. He might be better now than what he was. We don't know. And that's the job of the selectors, to find out and try and put the pieces together before we get to the West Indies. Because that's a big, big decision on what 17 go to the West Indies in a white cricket shirt.
I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world to try someone like Live as an opener. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good decision. Hey, it pains me to say it, but how do you rate these Aussies? We focus a lot on England, but in Cameron Green, they've got a player there, isn't there? I mean, he's only 22, and he makes
a difference.
He makes a massive difference. He's probably still, you know, he's not quite justifying a number 6 bat, but he's played a couple of important innings. He will, you imagine, get better. But with the ball, I mean, I can't think of an Australian all-rounder that has bowled as well as I've seen Green bowl in this series, off the top of my head.
No, Watson, early part of his career, came in and bowled well, but not to the extent of what Green has. I think he transforms his side into a team that can play all around the world. You go to India and they can compete now in India if they've got a second spinner. If they've got a wrist spinner, if they've got a different option to Nathan Lyon, you've got two seamers, Cameron Green, and two spinners. You're not losing anything in the side. You've got a varied attack. He reminds me a lot of Andrew. He reminds me a lot of Freddie. You know, his mannerisms, the way he, you know, the way he bats, the way he defends the ball, you know, the big strike coming out, looks to hit solid down the ground.
He looks sheepish. Like Freddie.
He does, yeah. There's a lot of early Andrew in Cameron Green. And I like what I see. I said that at the start of the series. He's a fantastic young cricketer who, if his body can hold up, where at 22, Andrews didn't as much as what, you know, Freddie wouldn't been able to get through a series at 22. It wasn't until later on when his body became cricket hardened that he could get through that. And it was only really for two or three years where he was, you know, a batting all-rounder, bowling all-rounder, and we were a different side because of that. Then it gives you a lot of variety in the bowling department. Australia need a number 7 wicketkeeper. I still think the jury's out on Carey. People are saying Smith's, you know, struggling a little bit, you know, body movements and stuff like that. This guy averages 60 in world cricket. He's a fantastic player. He'll come good. No shadow of a doubt. And the same with Marnus Labuschagne. That's the disappointing thing from an England point of view. We've bowled so well at these lot. Yeah, Labuschagne averaging mid-30s. Smith averaging under that. Warner averaging under that. And we've not really competed. And that's the disappointing thing for me. Australia's bit part players have come in and played a massive part, where we have just literally thrown names in a hat, chucked them out, and hoped that they've gone well. So I think this Australia side will get better. I think Pat Cummins is a fantastic... Time will tell whether he's a fantastic leader, but he's an unbelievable bowler. And I'm pleased that he got wickets in that game along with Mark Wood, because I think two of them have bowled their hearts out without the big rewards. And both Mark and Pat Cummins, similar similar characters, as in, you know, they'll run in all day, try and bowl as quick as they can for their team, give everything they possibly can. Got a smile on their face, but they've got a bit of nasty aggression about them. You know, they're two great characters of world cricket, and they got their rewards in this test match by getting the wickets. But I think they probably need an opening batsman and a wicketkeeper batsman before we can say they are going to be world class. But I don't think they're far away, to be honest.
Okay, Harmy. Well, that's it. Another Ashes done, and unfortunately, it's a very, very familiar feeling at the end of it, isn't it? But as much as I say that, it surprised me just how painful and how disastrous that last 22 overs, whatever it was, actually was. So, look, thanks so much to all the listeners. We've had thousands of listeners over the last, hundreds of thousands of listeners, actually, over the last 6 weeks or so. Harmy, you've been brilliant on BT as well. And you're heading off to the Caribbean this week as well. So cricket never ends, eh? But thanks for everything, all your input. Hopefully you're not going to be too bored. I tell you what, it's going to be good to be able to talk about something other than the act. You're back on the Cricket Collective on Tuesday as well on TalkSport too. And you'll be popping up and doing lots of stuff in the Caribbean on TalkSport as well. So, mate, brilliant stuff as ever. I'll speak to you soon. And thank you very much for listening to the Following On podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.